18. Bruises. Scholar form, shown for patience and thought. Beware its ambitions innate. Though study and diligence bring the reward, loss of innocence may be one's fate. From the Listener Song of Listing, 69th stanza.
"New guys are coming along, Goncho,"
Lopin said, taking a bite of the paper-wrapped something he was eating.
"Wearing their uniforms, talking like real men. Funny, it only took them a few days. Took us weeks."
"It took the rest of the men weeks, but not you," Kaladin said, shading his eyes from the sun and leaning on his spear. He was still in the Light Eyes practice grounds, watching over Adolin and Renarin, the latter of whom was receiving his first instructions from Zyle, the Swordmaster.
"You had a good attitude from the first day we found you, Lopin."
"Well, life was pretty good, you know."
"Pretty good? You'd just been assigned to carry siege bridges until you died on the plateaus."
"Aye,"
Lopin said, taking a bite of his food. It looked like a thick piece of flatbread wrapped around something goopy. He licked his lips, then handed it to Kaladin to free his single hand so he could dig in his pocket for a moment.
"You have bad days. You have good days. Evens out eventually."
"You're a strange man, Lopin," Kaladin said, inspecting the food Lopin had been eating. "What is this?"
"Chowta."
"Chowder?"
"Cha-o-ta. Her daisy and food gone. Good stuff. You can have a bite if you want."
It seemed to be chunks of undefinable meat slathered in some dark liquid, all wrapped in overly thick bread.
"Disgusting,"
Kaladin said, handing it back as Lopin gave him the thing he'd dug out of his pocket, a shell with glyphs written on both sides.
"Your loss,"
Lopin said, taking another bite. "You shouldn't be walking around eating like that," Kaladin noted. "It's rude."
"Nah, it's convenient. See, it's wrapped up good. You can walk about, get stuff done, eat at the same time."
"Slovenly," Kaladin said, inspecting the shell. It listed Sigzil's tallies of how many troops they had, how much food Rock thought they'd need, and Teft's assessments of how many of the former bridgemen were fit for training. That last number was pretty high. If bridgemen lived, they got strong carrying bridges. As Kaladin had proven firsthand, that translated to their making fine soldiers, assuming they could be motivated. On the reverse side of the shell, Sigzil had outlined a path for Kaladin to take on patrol outside the war camps. He'd soon have enough of the green vines ready to begin patrolling the region outside of the war camps, as he'd told Dalinar he would do. Teft thought it would be good for Kaladin to go himself, as it would let the new men spend time with Kaladin.
"Hoist home tonight," Lopin noted. "Sig says it'll come 2 hours after sunset. He thought you'd want to make preparations."
Kaladin nodded. Another chance for those mysterious numbers to appear. Both times before, they'd come during storms. He'd make extra certain Dalinar and his family were being watched. "Thanks for the report," Kaladin said, tucking the shell into his pocket. "Send back and tell Sigzil his proposed route takes me too far from the war camps. Have him drop another one. Also, tell Teft I need a few more men to come here today and relieve Moash and Dre. They've both been pulling too many hours lately. I'll guard Dalinar tonight myself. Suggest to the High Prince it would be convenient if his entire family would be together for the high storm."
"If the winds will, gone,"
Lopin said, finishing his last bite of chowta. He whistled then, looking into the practice grounds.
"That is something, isn't it?"
Kaladin followed Lopin's gaze. Adolin, having left his brother with Zyle, was now executing a training sequence with his shard blade. Gracefully he spun and twisted on the sands, sweeping his sword in broad, flowing patterns. On a practiced shard-bearer, Blade never looked clumsy. Imposing, resplendent, it fit to the form of the wearer. Adolin's reflected sunlight like a mirror as he made sweeps of the sword, moving from one posture to the next. Kaladin knew it was just a warm-up sequence, more impressive than functional. You'd never do something like this on the battlefield, though many of the individual postures and cuts represented practical movements. Even knowing that, Kaladin had to shake off a feeling of awe. Shardbearers in plate looked inhuman when they fought, more like heralds than men. He caught Syl sitting on the edge of the roof overhang near Adolin, watching the young man. She was too distant for Kaladin to make out her expression. Adolin finished his warm-up in a move where he fell to one knee and slammed his shard blade into the ground. It sank up to mid-blade, then vanished when he released it. "I've seen him summon that weapon before," Kaladin said.
"Yeah, Goncho. On the battlefield, when we saved his sorry ass from Sadeus."
"No, before that," Kaladin said, remembering an incident with a whore in Sadeus's camp. "He saved someone who was being bullied."
"Huh," Lupin said. "It can't be too bad then, you know."
"I suppose. Anyway, off with you. Make sure to send that replacement team." Lupin saluted, collecting Shen, who had been poking at practice swords along the side of the courtyard. Together, they jogged off on the errand. Kaladin did his rounds, checking on Moash and the others before walking over to where Renarin sat, still armored, on the ground before his new master. Zael, the ardent with the ancient eyes, sat in a solemn posture that belied his ragged beard.
"You will need to relearn how to fight, wearing that plate. It changes the way a man steps, grips, moves."
Renarin looked down. It was very odd to see a man wearing spectacles in the magnificent armor.
"I will not need to relearn how to fight, Master. I never learned in the first place."
Zael grunted.
"That's good. It means I don't have to break down any old bad habits."
"Yes, Master."
"We'll start you off easily, then," Zael said. "There are some steps at the corner over there. Climb up onto the roof of the dueling grounds, then jump off."
Renarin looked up sharply.
"Jump?"
"I'm old, son," Zael said. "Repeating myself makes me eat the wrong flower."
Kaladin frowned, and Renarin cocked his head, then looked at Kaladin questioningly. Kaladin shrugged.
"Eat what?"
Renarin asked.
"It means I get angry," Zael snapped. "You people don't have proper idioms for anything. Go!"
Renarin sprang to his feet, kicking up sand, and hustled away.
"Your helmet, son!" Zael called.
Renarin stopped, then scrambled back and snatched his helmet off the ground, nearly slipping onto his face as he did so. He spun, off balance, and ran awkwardly toward the stairs. He nearly plowed into a pillar on the way. Kaladin snorted softly.
"Oh," Zael said. "And you assume you'd do better your first time wearing shard plate, bodyguard?"
"I doubt I'd forget my helmet," Kaladin said, shouldering his spear and stretching. "If Dalinar Kholin intends to force the other High Princes into line, I think he's going to need better shardbearers than this. He should have picked someone else for that plate."
"Like you?"
"Storms, no," Kaladin said, perhaps too vehemently. "I'm a soldier, Zael. I want nothing to do with shards. The boy is likable enough, but I wouldn't trust men to his command, let alone armor that could keep a much better soldier alive on the field. And that's it."
"He'll surprise you," Zael replied. "I gave him the whole 'I'm your master and you do what I say' talk, and he actually listened."
"Every soldier hears that on their first day," Kaladin said. "Sometimes they listen. That the boy did is hardly noteworthy."
"If you knew how many spoiled 10-year-old light-eyed brats came through here," Zael said, "you'd think it worth noting. I thought a 19-year-old like him would be insufferable. And don't call him a boy. Boy. He's probably close to your own age, and is the son of the most powerful human on this..."
He cut off as scraping from atop the building announced Renarin Colin's charging and throwing himself off into the air, boots grinding against the stone coping of the roof. He sailed a good 10 or 12 feet out over the courtyard, practiced shardbearers could do far better, before floundering like a dying sky eel and crashing down into the sand. Zael looked toward Kaladin, raising an eyebrow. "What?" Kaladin asked.
"Enthusiasm, obedience, no fear of looking foolish," Zael said. "I can teach him how to fight, but those qualities are innate. This lad is going to do just fine."
"Assuming he doesn't fall on anyone," Kaladin said. Renarin climbed to his feet. He looked down as if surprised that he hadn't broken anything.
"Go up and do it again," Zael called to Renarin. "This time, fall head first."
Renarin nodded, then turned and trotted off toward the stairwell. "You want him to be confident in how the plate protects him," Kaladin said.
"Part of using plate is knowing its limits," Zael said, turning back to Kaladin. "Plus, I just want him moving in it. Either way, he's listening, and that's good. Teaching him is going to be a real pleasure. You, on the other hand, are another story."
Kaladin raised his hand. "Thanks, but no."
"You'd turn down an offer to train with a full weapons master?" Zael asked. "I can count on one hand the number of dark eyes I've seen given that chance."
"Yes, well, I've already done the new recruit thing. Yelled at by sergeants, worked to the bone, marched for hours on end. Really, I'm fine."
"This isn't the same at all," Zael said, waving down one of the Ardents walking past.
The man was carrying a shard blade with metal guards over the sharp edges, one of the ones the king provided for training use. Zael took the shard blade from the Ardent, holding it up. Kaladin nodded his chin at it. "What's that on the blade?"
"Nobody's sure," Zael said, swiping with the blade. "Fit it to the edges of a blade, and it will adapt to the shape of the weapon and make it safely blunt. Off the weapons, they break surprisingly easily. Useless in a fight on their own. Perfect for training, though."
Kaladin grunted. "Something created long ago for use in training?" Zael inspected the shard blade for a moment, then pointed it directly toward Kaladin. Even with it blunted, even knowing the man wasn't going to really attack him, Kaladin felt an immediate moment of panic. A shard blade. This one had a slender, sleek form with a large crossguard. The flat sides of the blade were etched with the 10 fundamental glyphs. It was a handspan wide and easily 6 feet long, yet Zael held it with one hand and didn't seem off balance.
"Niter," Zael said.
"What?" Kaladin asked, frowning.
"He was the head of the Cobalt Guard before you," Zael said. "He was a good man, and a friend. He died keeping the men of the Colin House alive. Now you've got the same damnation job, and you're going to have a tough time doing it half as well as he did."
"I don't see what that has to do with you waving a shard blade at me."
"Anyone who sends assassins after Dalinar or his sons is going to be powerful," Zael said. "They'll have access to shard bearers. That's what you're up against, son. You're going to need far more training than a battlefield gives a spearman. Have you ever fought a man holding one of these?"
"Once or twice," Kaladin said, relaxing against the nearby pillar.
"Don't lie to me."
"I'm not lying," Kaladin said, meeting Zael's eyes. "Ask Adolin what I pulled his father out of a few weeks back." Zael lowered the sword. Behind him, Renarin dove face first off the roof and crashed into the ground. He groaned inside his helm, rolling over. His helm leaked light, but he seemed otherwise unharmed.
"Well done, Prince Renarin," Zael called without looking. "Now do a few more jumps and see if you can land on your feet."
Renarin rose and clinked off.
"All right then,"
Zael said, sweeping the shard blade in the air.
Let's see what you can do, kid. Convince me to leave you alone.
Kaladin didn't respond, other than to heft his spear and settle into a defensive posture, one foot behind, one out front. He held his weapon with the butt forward instead of the point. Nearby, Adolin sparred with another one of the masters, who had the second king's blade and a suit of plate. How would this work? If Zael scored a hit on Kaladin's spear, would they pretend it had cut through? The Ardent approached in a rush, raising the blade in a two-handed grip. The familiar calmness and focus of battle enveloped Kaladin. He did not draw in Stormlight. He needed to be certain not to come to rely on it too much.
Watch that shard blade, Kaladin thought, stepping forward, trying to get inside the weapon's reach.
In fighting a shard-bearer, everything became about that blade. The blade that nothing could stop. The blade that didn't just kill the body, but severed the soul itself. The blade... Zael dropped the blade. It hit the ground as Zael got inside Kaladin's reach. Kaladin had been too focused on the weapon, and though he tried to get his spear in position to strike, Zael twisted and buried his fist into Kaladin's stomach. The next punch, to the face, slammed Kaladin to the floor of the practice grounds. Kaladin immediately rolled, ignoring the pain spren wriggling in the sand. He found his feet as his vision swam. He grinned.
Nice move, that.
Zael was already turning back to Kaladin, blade recovered. Kaladin scuttled forward on the sand, spear still forward, staying away. Zael knew his way around a blade. He didn't fight like Adolin. Fewer sweeping blows, more overhand chops. Quick and furious. He backed Kaladin around the side of the practice ground.
He'll get tired keeping this up, Kaladin's instinct said. Keep him moving.
After an almost complete circuit of the grounds, Zael slowed his offense and instead rounded on Kaladin, watching for an opening.
You'd be in trouble if I had plate, Zael said. I'd be faster, wouldn't tire.
You don't have plate.
And if someone comes for the king wearing it, I'll use a different tactic.
Zael grunted as Renarin crashed to the ground nearby. The prince almost kept his footing but stumbled and fell to the side, skidding in the sand.
Well, if this were a real assassination attempt, Zael said, I'd be using different tactics too.
He dashed toward Renarin. Kaladin cursed, taking off after Zael. Immediately the man reversed, skidding to a stop in the sand and spinning to swing at Kaladin with a powerful two-handed blow. The strike connected with Kaladin's spear, sending a sharp crack echoing across the practice grounds. If the blade hadn't been guarded, it would have split the spear in two and perhaps grazed Kaladin's chest. A watching Ardent tossed Kaladin half a spear. They'd been waiting for his spear to be cut, and wanted to replicate a real fight as much as possible. Nearby, Moash had arrived, looking concerned, but several Ardents intercepted him and explained. Kaladin looked back to Zael.
In a real fight, the man said, I might have chased down the prince by now.
In a real fight, Kaladin said, I might have stabbed you with half a spear when you thought me disarmed.
I wouldn't have made that mistake.
Then you'll have to assume I wouldn't have made the mistake of letting you get to Renarin. Zael grinned. It looked a dangerous expression on him. He stepped forward and Kaladin understood. There would be no backing away and leading him off this time. Kaladin wouldn't have that option if he were protecting a member of Dalinar's family. Instead, he had to try his best to pretend to kill this man. That meant an attack. A prolonged, close-quarters fight would favor Zael, as Kaladin couldn't parry a shard blade. Kaladin's best bet was to strike fast and hope to score an early hit. Kaladin barreled forward, then threw himself to his knees, skidding on the sands underneath Zael's strike. That would get him close, and Zael kicked Kaladin in the face. Vision swimming, Kaladin rammed his fake spear into Zael's leg. The man's shard blade came down a second later, stopping where Kaladin's shoulder met his neck.
You're dead, son, Zael said. You've got a spear through your leg, Kaladin said, puffing.
You aren't chasing down Renarin like that. I win.
You're still dead, Zyle said with a grunt.
My job is to stop you from killing Renarin. With what I just did, he escapes. Doesn't matter if the bodyguard is dead.
And what if the assassin had a friend?
Another voice asked from behind. Kaladin twisted to see Adolin in full plate and standing with his shard blade point stuck into the ground before him. He'd removed his helm and held it in one hand, the other hand resting on the blade's crossguard.
If there were two of them, bridge boy,
Adolin asked with a smirk,
could you fight two shard bearers at once? If I wanted to kill Father or the King, I'd never send just one.
Kaladin stood, rolling his shoulder in its socket. He met Adolin's gaze. So condescending, so sure of himself. Arrogant bastard.
All right, Zyle said. I'm sure he sees the point, Adolin. No need.
Kaladin charged the princeling, and he thought he heard Adolin chuckling as he put on his helm.
Something boiled inside of Kaladin. The nameless shardbearer who had killed so many of his friends. Satius, sitting regally in red armor. Amaram, hands on a sword stained with blood.
Kaladin screamed as Adolin's unguarded shard blade came for him in one of the careful sweeping strokes from Adolin's practice session. Kaladin pulled himself up short, raising his half-spear and letting the blade pass right before him. Then he slapped the back edge of the shard blade with his spear, knocking Adolin's grip to the side and fouling up the follow-through. Kaladin barreled forward and threw his shoulder against the prince. It was like slamming into a wall. Kaladin's shoulder flared with pain, but the momentum, along with the surprise of his cudgel blow, knocked Adolin off balance. Kaladin forced both of them backward, the shardbearer toppling to the ground with a crash and a surprised grunt. Renarin made a twin crash, falling to the ground nearby. Kaladin raised his half-spear like a dagger to plunge it toward Adolin's faceplate. Unfortunately, Adolin had dismissed his blade as they fell. The princeling got a gauntleted hand up underneath Kaladin. Kaladin slammed his weapon downward. Adolin heaved upward with one hand. Kaladin's blow didn't connect. Instead, he found himself airborne, thrown with all the plate-augmented strength of a shard-bearer. He floundered in the air before slamming down 8 feet away, the sand grinding into his side, the shoulder he'd hit against Adolin flaring in pain again. Kaladin gasped.
Idiot! Zyle yelled.
Kaladin groaned, rolling over. His vision swam.
You could have killed the boy!
He was talking to Adolin somewhere far away.
He attacked me!
Adolin's voice was muffled by the helm.
You challenged him, fool child!
Zyle's voice was closer.
Then he asked for it, Adolin said.
Pain. Someone at Kaladin's side. Zyle?
You're wearing plate, Adolin.
Yes, that was Zyle, kneeling above Kaladin, whose vision refused to focus.
You don't throw an unarmored sparring partner like he's a bundle of sticks. Your father taught you better than that.
Kaladin sucked in sharply and forced his eyes open. Stormlight from the pouch at his belt filled him.
Not too much. Don't let them see. Don't let them take that away from you.
Pain vanished. His shoulder re-knit. He didn't know if he'd broken it or just dislocated it. Zyle cried out in surprise as Kaladin pitched himself up to his feet and dashed back toward Adolin. The prince stumbled away, hand out to his side, obviously summoning his blade. Kaladin kicked his fallen half-spear up in a spray of sand, then grabbed it in mid-air as he got near. In that moment, the strength drained from him. The tempest inside of him fled without warning, and he stumbled, gasping at the returning pain of his shoulder. Adolin caught him by the arm with a gauntleted fist. The prince's shard blade formed in his other hand, but in that moment a second blade stopped at Kaladin's neck.
You're dead,
Zyle said from behind, holding the blade against Kaladin's skin.
Again.
Kaladin sank down in the middle of the practice grounds, dropping his half-spear. He felt completely drained. What had happened?
Go give your brother some help with his jumping, Zile ordered Adolin.
Why did he get to order around princes? Adolin laughed, and Zile knelt beside Kaladin.
You don't flinch when someone swings a blade at you. You actually have fought Shardbearers before, haven't you?
Yeah.
You're lucky to be alive, then, Zile said, probing at Kaladin's shoulder. You've got tenacity, a stupid amount of it. You have good form, and you think well in a fight, but you hardly know what you're doing against Shardbearers.
What should he say? Zile was right. It was arrogant to say otherwise. Two fights, three if he counted today, did not make one an expert. He winced as Zile prodded a sore tendon. More pain spren on the ground. He was giving them a workout today.
Nothing broken here, Zile said with a grunt. How are your ribs?
They're fine, Kaladin said, lying back in the sand, staring up at the sky.
Well, I won't force you to learn, Zile said, standing up. I don't think I could force you, actually.
Kaladin squeezed his eyes shut. He felt humiliated. But why should he? He'd lost sparring matches before. It happened all the time.
You remind me a lot of him, Zile said. Adolin wouldn't let me teach him either. Not at first.
Kaladin opened his eyes.
I'm nothing like him.
Zile barked a laugh at that, then stood and walked away, chuckling as if he'd heard the finest joke in all the world. Kaladin continued to lie on the sand, staring upward at the deep blue sky, listening to the sounds of men sparring. Eventually, Syl flitted over and landed on his chest.
What happened? Kaladin asked. The stormlight drained from me. I felt it go.
Who were you protecting? Syl asked.
I was practicing how to fight. Like when I practiced with Scar and Rock down in the chasms.
Is that really what you were doing?
Syl asked. He didn't know. He lay there, staring at the sky, until he finally caught his breath and forced himself to his feet with a groan. He dusted himself off, then went to check on Moash and the other guards. As he went, he drew in a little stormlight, and it worked, slowly healing his shoulder and soothing away his bruises. The physical ones, at least.